This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are live. We're waiting for Wes Bryant. I see his camera. Like, watch. I can show you on the Facebooks that his camera's there. You see? It's a nice blue background. But I don't see Wes. So he'll be calling in any moment, and we'll be talking about the Rackspace debacle. We'll set it up a little bit. So, you know, Rackspace basically was hit with – the articles say they blame ransomware. No. That's what happened. You know, that's like saying your place burned down due to fire, but you didn't have any sprinklers. Right. You're blaming the fire. No. You didn't put any sprinklers in. So in the case here with Rackspace, they obviously were tricked in some way to let the bad guys into their system. Now, that what they were doing is something called hosted exchange. And if you listen to the show at all, you know that we've had issues with exchange servers in general, dating back to the early flavors of exchange. It was like, I want to say now, the time kind of flies, but this is during the pandemic. Early in the pandemic, we found out from the folks over at Microsoft that, and the FBI, by the way, that all their Exchange servers have a issue that is not patched, and you got to get out there and patch right now because the bad guys are using it to get footholds into the systems, and then they're putting ransomware or whatever they're going to put on your system to cause you trouble. And that's what happened here with Rackspace, but they should have been patched by now.
I would have thought so.
Right. So either they got through that way or due to a lack of a patched server, or they just emailed somebody that worked there and said, hey, I need your password. And they said, okay. And they let them in and they were doing bad things. And
classic admin phishing.
Right. So we don't know exactly how they were compromised. But the fact that they're down so long is the biggest issue, right? So we all can be compromised. We all can be tricked. The key is, what kind of disaster recovery protocols have you put in place so you don't have a million users that don't have access to their mailboxes or their data and are all scrambling, all calling IT people at the same time, thank you very much, to have us migrate them off of the system. So it's, you know, we're going to talk with Wes about what are the disaster recovery protocols, and let me take a peek at his camera again. I don't know what's going on. His camera's there. He's not really there. So we would have him on to talk a little bit about some of the disaster recovery protocols that we'd recommend. So we'll, as we wait, he might be calling in now. For Wes, some of the basics are out there. There are many, we call them clean mail tools, that actually process your mail that's coming in from the outside through a service. And then the mail is scrubbed and sent to your servers. Well, a lot of times that technology can then be leveraged into a portal where you can still send and receive email because it hasn't gotten to your servers. You log into that portal. We have it at one of our patrol dog tools for our clients. And you can send and receive email happily along. Mm-hmm. So clearly, Rackspace didn't put that in place for their customers.
No.
So they're saying, go ahead and just migrate to 365. Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, to me, what's really remarkable about that is that advice that they're giving out to their own customers.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, hey, go elsewhere.
Right.
And that tells me they're probably going to be exiting this business.
It could be. I mean, they are a publicly traded company.
I would think so.
Yeah, they're a publicly traded company. And this is a major embarrassment. And they, who knows if they've got your data backed up, right? So everything could be encrypted. And what are you going to do? You know, if your data is encrypted and you don't have a backup, again, companies like us offer backups to our customers for their mailboxes for just this issue. Whether you're on 365, we back it up. Because, again, even though it's in the cloud, people, I know someone told you that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But let's say Dennis goes rogue, right? He's an employee owner and he goes, you know, I hate working for myself. I'm going to go ahead and destroy all my email. Just I'm throwing in the towel and you delete all your email, right? The mm-hmm. company, if there was no backup in place, would not be able to recover Dennis's email after a certain small period of time. And same thing with his whatever he's got on his 365 cloud, whether it be Word documents or what have you, SharePoint, all that has to be backed up because if Dennis goes rogue or just makes a mistake, which happens, or if who could make a mistake? Ooh, Microsoft.
Oh, right.
Microsoft could delete the whole tenant on us for all we know.
Well, Microsoft could put out an update that wrecks your email database.
Right.
It's probably happened at some point.
It probably has. So you'd have to have these technologies in place. And we wanted to talk with Wes Bryan of IT Pro TV, who's not with us this morning. He's supposed to be. His camera's live. I'm not sure if he's what's happened. I hope everything's okay. But you need to put these technologies in place to protect your business and your data. So if you've got, whether it be your entire server is offsite in somebody else's data center, call the cloud, call whatever you want. You, the company who has put your stuff there, need to back up that server somewhere else. So let's say you have an Azure server spun up on Azure. Well, you should be backing it up to AWS. Don't back it up to Azure. Right? I mean, that's like IT 101.
Right.
Don't back it up to Azure. There was an issue with the Google Cloud. Some ding-dong cut a fiber yesterday. Right?
Yeah.
And if you do a Google search on cut fiber with Google, you'll see article after article after article of data centers going down caused by fiber cuts due to backhoes.
Right.
Now, in this case, this issue was remediated thanks to how they have their cloud set up.
Right. They were able to reroute the traffic through other sites.
So that was all good.
Yeah.
So the issue, though, is if Google got encrypted, like we've given examples of Final Sight, you know, what would you do in that instance? So you make sure your backup is not going. If you've got your servers in Google's cloud, back it up to Azure, right? You can't back it up to the same place you're trying to operate from, guys.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, how many, we've seen this even in our client base, backing up, we have pick up new accounts. Oh yeah, we're backing up to our server. You're backing up your server to your server? Yeah. Really?
What?
Yeah. So
how is that even a backup?
I don't know. Some IT guy at the mall told him so. So you got to make sure you think about disaster recovery, how you're going to plan for disaster. What is a disaster? And in this case for Rackspace, a disaster would have been, I can't get it to my email. So they should have put in mitigation for ability to get to a portal to send and receive the email. They should have built in, hey, don't worry, we got your data backed up. We haven't heard any posts like that.
Nope, not a word.
And that would be the first word you'd send out, right?
There has not been a word about that at all.
So I fear for those people whose mail is on there because you've migrated to some 365 ClassNet, but you want to actually drag your email over there, right? And that can take, some of these people's mailboxes could be 50 or 100 gigs of mail, right?
Oh, easily.
Lots of people treat email like their filing system.
Oh, yeah. Right?
What did I promise that guy? What did I promise that guy?
Which, to be honest and to be clear to everybody out there, do not use your mailbox as a filing cabinet.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't. And don't put your deleted in your deleted folders and not expect it to be deleted if we ever have to as an IT company. We have had that before. So Rackspace could have done those things. Of course, then they could have done other things to prevent the ransomware from occurring, right? They could have put in technologies to stop it in its tracks. They could have been in technologies that have canaries in the coal mine that would have warned them that this was occurring. They could have put in technologies that would have actually found out whether or not the footholds are being used. These are EDR technologies, MDR technologies that should have been in place to prevent this in the first place, unless they were tricked by just saying, hey, what's your password? And the IT guy said, it's ice cream.
Yeah.
So those technologies can't stop a rogue actor from logging in as Dennis, right? If they mm-hmm. they get your password and they log in as you, it's hard for the system to know that you're not you.
Correct.
So that's where 2FA comes in. So they didn't put that in place to stop that from occurring. All this could have been preventable. Now, we're in IT, so we know you're a big target like that, the bad guys are going to try to figure out a way in. But you need to put all these mitigation tools in to prevent this from happening. And it doesn't look like Rackspace did. And we really wanted to talk to Wes about that today. Where are you, Wes? I don't know what's going on. But we'll step out for a quick break. That's enough Rackspace disaster recovery talk. Maybe Wes will get on with us within the hour. We'll figure that out. So hang on, Rick, Sue, Bob, and John. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're still waiting on Wes. So we'll continue on. And hopefully he joins us and we'll chat a little more with him if we get to. Let's go to Sue next and see what's going out there. Sue, what's going on? You had a suggestion for Emma. How are you?
I'm just finishing up my composition on an email to you.
Oh.
I was to the end of waiting. So that's God coming through.
All right.
All right. This is a suggestion for Emma, that first woman who spoke about feeling people were watching her. Look around us. I mean, people are watching babies in monitors from across the street. I said that, she may have been compromised through a smart TV, through a smartphone, any other way. If she really feels compromised and threatened, I would suggest she call the police department and make an appointment. Meet with their digital media people and make sure that really something isn't going on that could be a bigger picture. Vulnerable people are getting caught by evil people. And she may be just one of those people. And believe me, I am 65 and the phone is the worst when you're tired. Scammers can get you, even if you have been teaching consumer science for a million years. The other thing I would suggest is that she go to the library or the senior center to do the dual verification. I grew up with vinyl and, rotary phonographs. And, dual verification at my age is like the last straw. So, have her go there so that she can understand it, and they would be able to help her with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell her to be proactive, and if she feels that something is not right, she knows, and she should act on that. And I've gone to the police department with scam phone numbers and hacking numbers, and they are more than willing to talk to you and take the information. And I think that she might get some help there.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's hard for us, based on what she was saying, to see anything.
You're looking at it from a technical point of view.
Right.
And having taught all ages computers, it's very difficult because depending on what stage you're going into it, I learned BASIC back at MCC years ago.
Yeah.
Could I tell you anything about BASIC? No. Other than yes and no. That's about all in the flowchart.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up and going through college, I swore that I would never use a computer. And now I'm living and teaching on a computer all the time.
Right.
So I didn't want her to feel like she was out there alone. And tell her that there are support services in her town that could help her. And the library, the resource departments are very helpful.
Very good, Sue. Thank you for that information.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. And, at some point I would love to maybe work with you guys. It would be an interesting dynamic for you to add something that is more that consumer science. Like, your technical is wonderful, but sometimes it's those social things that are age-related and all of that. But
yeah, we could definitely.
To you and have a nice day.
You too, Sue.
Holidays.
All right, you too.
Bye.
She's not wrong, right? So we've in this program, we've talked with other, we've had other aspects of IT as part of the program, from tech stocks to digital cameras. There's definitely room out there for talking about the social issues or the, you know, psychological issues that all this technology is bringing to us, to possibly have a segment, especially for the folks that are older who get victimized constantly.
Yeah.
Not just with computers, but even old phones or people walking up and saying, I'm from the water department, I got to check your pipes.
Yeah, I mean, that happens too.
Yeah, it's a constant thing. So, you know, it'd be an interesting topic we could explore. Let's go on to Rick from Naugatuck. What's happening, Rick?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I listen to your show every Saturday.
Awesome.
Phenomenal job.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, I just got Go NetSpeed at my house here. I got the 500.
All right.
And it is solid, 500 up and down.
Good. So you got a router that can do it.
Well, they did all the install with the Nokia equipment.
They provided you a router.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yep. So I have it directly. I know you're going to go crazy, but I'm trying to transpose from Windows 7 to my Windows 10. I got a brand new computer.
That's okay.
It's loaded. I mean, I got it's an 11. It's an i7. And I mean, I got 32 gigs of RAM. I've got a 500 hard drive and a 1 terabyte, you know, as a backup.
Yep. Nice.
Okay. So, you know, obviously it came with, Microsoft, what's it called? Edge. And I love Chrome. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Sure.
And I don't know why it just won't it'll let me download it. It'll let me get to that point. And then when it says it's installed, I click on it. All I get in the center is Chrome web or something web, and it won't come up like normal. Is that a problem with Windows 10?
No, not with Windows, not with any given version of Windows. How did you find the installer for Chrome?
I went through Edge, and I was able to download Firefox with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But when I click on Edge, and then I Googled, or not Googled, but I went to the web and punched in Google Chrome.
Right. Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion.
Hmm. Okay.
Uninstall whatever version of Chrome you put in.
I did.
Then you're going to go to Google's website to get their official installer. And we can provide a link to that. I can just say over the air what it is. It's very simple. Google.com/Chrome.
Right.
Okay.
And that will take you directly to where the true installer lives. And you can download it.
Google.com/Chrome?
Yep.
Yep.
/Chrome.
Okay.
That's the issue with the internet. Who knows what package you actually downloaded?
That's exactly what I think it is. That's what I think the problem was. Because no matter how many times I've tried it, I completely uninstalled it, did it again, and it just keeps doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no reason it should be the case. Also, on that router GoNetSpeed offered you, did you configure the firewall now with your own password?
I didn't.
Okay.
That was my next question.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
I trust the guys that go NetSpeed implicitly, but I don't.
Let me just shut this. I'm at the other computer. Let me shut it.
They should have given you an IP address of the router, which is probably 192.168.1.1. And
when I do the speed, you know, I'm connected, you know, hardwired right in. So when I do through their Go NetSpeed, it shows me what the IP address is.
Well, right. There's going to be a gateway of the router. What is the IP address of the router?
I'm not sure, but this says here 216.49.130.192.
All right. That's
when I do the up speed or the go speed.
Right, right. That's just a speed test.
Okay. So how would I find that?
You want to do an IP config in the command in a command prompt on your computer.
Okay.
And you want to find the default gateway IP. And that,
all right.
The default gateway IP is how your devices are getting to the internet. And okay. So I could be completely wrong about how yours is configured, but I know I configured mine a certain way, but most likely they configured it for you. So you got to get to the default IP of the gateway. You got to log in. And the problem is you don't know what the default password is on that device they provided you.
No, I don't.
So believe it or not, you can Google that.
Well, now this is my other computer with Google Chrome, so this one's fine.
Yeah, so you can Google the make and model of that router they provided and Google the default password, log in, and then change that password.
Okay, so change their password what they set it up for.
Yeah, and then you want to also, while you're in there, go to your DHCP settings and make sure you are handing out OpenDNS IP addresses of 208.222.222.222 or whatever that is. That 208, yeah, it's close to that.
Bob could
rattle it off like nothing. We'll put the links up there. So configure your DHCP to have the DNS of OpenDNS as well while you're in there changing those passwords. Okay.
Okay. Was that hurt the speed?
No.
Not in any way, shape, or form.
It'll improve the speed, if that's possible.
Okay.
All right. We got to go, Rick.
All right. Thanks again.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Taking a quick break. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we have not found Wes. I hope he's okay. I'm sure he's enjoying the Florida weather. He's not freezing up here like we are. but he's supposed to be here. We checked in with him on Friday. It is what it is. We'll be fine. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Rich from Glastonbury, who wants to follow up. Hey, Rich.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Okay.
That doesn't sound good.
Call. How good could I be, right?
Well, if we're always nervous about follow-up calls. We're wondering if they have to go to the complaint department or if we're okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
No, you guys are okay. That's not the problem.
What's up, then?
I called you a couple weeks ago about an insane hard drive on a Visual Field machine.
Okay.
More info.
Okay, so, what do you got?
Okay, so I think part of it runs on VxWorks, which I'd never heard of. And, of course, I called their technical department, and what a surprise, never got a call back. And the other part of it runs on Linux, or is it Linux?
Or how you say it.
Most people say Linux, but you do hear Linux or even Linux now.
Well, I don't know. Never mind. I was thinking of some other words, but anyway.
You can't get it to boot then still.
Here's the thing. So I can't it's a 32 gig hard drive. That's what it comes with.
Tiny.
And it comes from the factory in what they tell me is a low initiation. And they have a high initiation. So essentially it's a low format and a high format. And it tells you if you get one that has no format on it, you can still work it. They said put in a Windows 95 to 98 system disk with FDisk and format in the floppy drive. And of course everybody's got Windows 95 hanging around, don't they?
eBay does.
I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then it says, go ahead and do it, and it'll give you a fat 16 single partition.
That's the workaround.
Yeah, that's the workaround. And then it gives you a 2.1 gigabyte is all it'll limit it to.
Yeah.
And then when you get that done, you reboot the system, and it comes up with format. And it says don't load Windows, just comes up with format. Then you can format it, and then it's ready to load it in from the software on the floppies, which I do have. My question is, is there a way to just take the disk I have still works, but it's not happy? Is there a way to do a complete clone of that hard drive and have that just work? Because it should have everything on it, shouldn't it?
The answer will be maybe. We're not as familiar with Linux and what you're talking about specifically. Maybe Dennis is, but
There is a product that can clone Linux partitions. It's called CloneZilla.
CloneZilla?
Yeah. Now, with CloneZilla, you will probably have to do is boot to a special disk that is running its own version of Linux that CloneZilla will operate on, and then it will clone from one drive to another.
Okay. I'm sure there is plenty of external hard drive enclosures and hookups and wires that I could use to... I have an old Windows machine, and I tried taking out the hard drive because I figured, oh, fine, I'll just clone it onto the drive in the machine. I don't care.
Yeah.
As soon as I put the hard drive from the Visual Field machine into the old PC, it killed the old PC because it's German, so it can do that.
That's right. It's a Carl Zeiss, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very good,
yeah. Yes, yes. Anyway. We have many clients with Carl Zeiss devices like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I put the thing in, and I figured, oh, this is just great. Now the computer won't start up.
Right.
I took the damn thing back out and restarted it, and it still said, we don't like you anymore.
Oh,
so it wouldn't boot up. So then I pressed, I forget which key, maybe the delete key, because that's my favorite key.
Yep.
So whatever it was, and the computer rebooted, and everybody was happy, and it runs.
Yeah.
And I took the disk back and stuck it back in the Visual Field Machine, and it runs. So the problem is I can't get this thing. I can't get another machine.
Right.
Unless it's like 30 grand.
Right. Okay? No, I know.
Or I think I told you I could get a used one at 6 grand, which has a warranty, which says if the machine breaks before 6 months, we'll give you your money back. And if it luckily goes 6 months and one day, we'll keep your money.
Right. Exactly.
Crapshoot.
Yeah. Is there any USB ports on this machine that we're talking about?
There is, and it's it says in the manual, which I was able to get the field resource manual.
Hmm.
And it says in the manual that at some point they'll make them active.
Oh, they're not active.
No.
And they're not willing to send you a bootable, like, okay, so if they're not active, I was going to say use a boot, just boot off a thumb drive running Ubuntu and call it a day.
Yeah, and I thought, and the only thing I can, and besides it won't even know to take that, I mean, it doesn't look at the USB drive. The only thing I can think of is to clone the hard drive.
Right, it's a 32 gig IDE hard drive, right? This is super old technology.
Yeah, it's PATA. Right?
So what? Don't do it on this machine. I think you need to take it out and connect it to an IDE to USB interface. All right, that'll give you power to the drive.
Right.
Plug it into a current machine and then use Dennis's Clonezilla idea to another drive. Now, again, it has to be tiny. You can't stick a 2 terabyte drive in that thing. It's not going to know what to do with it. So
you can, an 80 gig.
All right, 80 gig. So hopefully the geometry will be understood by the BIOS. May not be, though.
I partitioned it in 32 gig pieces.
That's fine. It might do it. Well, you won't know until you stick it in there, and the BIOS says, "I don't know what an 80 gig drive is. Yeah. I only know a 32 gig drive."
Exactly.
So, do it outside of the machine so you have some more power.
I thought you were going to say do it outside in case you get a fire.
Well, we've done stuff like that. We've stuck things in freezers to make them work, believe it or not. But and it does work.
Believe it. Yeah,
But in this case, it's not going to help you. So
yeah, it's too big.
Yes, Clonezilla is cool. That sounds great. It's just the key is. If they just made those thumb drives, the USB ports active, you could boot off a stick, right? You would clone it to a thumb drive and stick it in the USB port and just boot off the stick, which doesn't technically, I can't think the BIOS has any issues with geometry there because it's not really reading it the same way. But you got quite a mess there.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I wish the support would give you a drive.
They don't have a drive anymore. Don't have any.
Mm.
This machine is old. I mean, they took this thing... you can't get a service contract on it for like 10 years, probably.
Right.
And the tech told me, he said, you know, the problem we had is that we couldn't get parts, and also the computer inside the thing, we couldn't get the motherboard. We couldn't get anything. So they just said, okay, so we can't service it anymore.
Right.
You know? So that's what they did. And I can respect that, you know.
Yep.
30 grand, buy a new machine. Why
30
not?
Grand. That's the nature of our business, Doc.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's every business, isn't it?
Kind of. So, all right. Well, I mean, try these things. Right. Maybe it'll work. We'd love to have you give us a follow up and see if you had success. And I think the listeners are going to be like, I wonder if the doc got it working or not.
And they're also going to be wondering, gee, should I see this guy? He doesn't even have a machine that works.
So that's the thing. So you say that, and it's kind of funny. I don't think they would treat you that way, but there are some shortcuts that so many companies make, right? And you're going to wonder, you're not doing it. The machine is going to be a visual field. It either tells you your visual field or it doesn't. You're just trying to get it to boot.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not there. But if you've got an accountant that's running on XP computers and all your tax data is on that, you might have a question about that.
Yeah. Well, I should have saved my old AT. That's what I should have done.
There it is.
Yeah,
right.
That
Save it
great.
From the landfill.
Yeah, well, it's saved in the landfill, right? Okay, thank you, guys. You guys are always great, and I respect it, and I love the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Good luck, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, definitely.
All right, take care.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye. I was hoping you'd give us some good news, because that all rang a bell.
Yeah, but now I've got him running Clonezilla.
Yeah.
That's an adventure in itself.
Oh, is it? Do you have any good instructions you can post out there?
The website leads you through everything.
Right.
Just pay attention to what they say, follow the directions,
implicitly,
and you'll be all right.
But again, so what we're talking about here is that he's got such an old system that you just can't buy a drive off the shelf and stick it in. It's like, imagine you have a 20-year-old car and you wanted to put a new engine in it. the car may not have the somebody who knows what they're doing could put a current engine in a 20-year-old car, but yeah, they probably can these days. I've watched a lot of shows. These guys, my analogy might even work, not even work anymore. But for most of us, you can't put a new engine in an old car and hope it works. And that's kind of what he's trying to do. But he's working in a parameter that's 15 years old. So he's really in a box. Let's go to John from Avon. What's happening, John?
Hi.
Hi.
I have Frontier as our internet provider. They have put in fiber optics and now are offering a promotional deal to switch over to their faster service.
Yeah.
I called them. They do, in fact, offer a lower price than what I'm paying now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're offering to pay for the installation and the, I think it's a router, the Eero, E-E-R-O.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a router.
Okay.
I think they're made by Amazon.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I did do a little research on it, and it sounds like a great router, except for they don't promise you they won't collect all your data.
Right. So then right there is enough for you, right? So you're going to say, no, thanks, I don't want the router. You just want their fiber, quote-unquote, modem.
Uh-huh.
And then buy your own. And I still have to link the one that I found. What bandwidth are you buying?
Whatever their lowest is, 500.
The lowest is 500? 500?
I think.
That's pretty fast.
That's really fast.
Yeah. So you need a firewall router that'll handle that throughput, and the one I picked up does. Affordably, that's like 250. It's a Linksys device.
Uh-huh.
I'll put a link up there for you to check that out. That way you control your own destiny. And if you put the OpenDNS in there, there'll be less even them for Frontier to follow you by because you can't do anything. And with 500 internet, believe it or not, you could even implement a VPN on your firewall and actually make it look like you're coming out of Saskatchewan and you wouldn't even notice a difference. All right.
Is the VPN is something you I know they offer. People offer that for a monthly fee. You can get a VPN. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. You can implement. You can go pay for a month a VPN, like from Proton. And firewalls these days now allow you to configure them on the firewall.
Yes, a lot of home firewalls sometimes have VPN service in them.
Right.
I have it on mine.
Right. So for me, as a gamer who's actually winning now that I have 500, I do not want to slow down my performance by putting in a VPN.
Uh-huh.
I got to beat these little guys that are out there in the gaming world. But if you don't care about that and you have a life better than mine and you put that VPN in there, you'll be much more secure.
Is there a way to do a VPN without a monthly charge?
Some companies offer that too. Proton does have a free VPN, but you can ask why. You know, is it the kindness of their hearts or are they collecting data? I don't know.
Gotcha.
If you pay for it and they tell you they're not doing it, at least you have a leg to stand on.
So you'd recommend not just taking their free Eero router and getting your own?
If you want to control your own destiny as far as what you said, collecting data. If you don't care, then...
I do all my banking on the computer, and is that the data they will be collecting?
No, they're just going to... Well, they'll know where you bank. They're going to know that a guy who lives in Avon, who's this age, because they know all your demographic information, happens to go and bank at this banking domain, happens to go shop here, happens to go wherever you go on the internet. And then they sell that, quote-unquote, anonymized data to people who are interested in marketing. And I can tell you, there's some sick technologies out there that I can look at companies to figure out if they're thinking about using a services like mine, just because of their searches that they're doing on their own networks. It's almost like cheating, right? So somebody's going to then offer you a snowblower because you just type the word snowblower in your browser,
right?
So it's up to you, John. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to actually be looking at you, but the technology is sick. It's amazing how much they know about us, especially if you want to leverage it.
I was disappointed. It sounded everything I was reading like, oh, that sounds really like a great router, and then I came across that. But they do collect all your stuff.
Right. So just drop a couple $100 on your own router, and now you don't have that problem. And if you put the DNS in there of OpenDNS rather than using the Frontier DNS, that's even more secure, right? They won't have any way to see where you're going because you're getting the DNS information from Cisco. Cisco knows.
Right.
So I did put on the OpenDNS on the old system, but I had to get a second router or modem, so that was like two at once.
That's not needed.
That, yeah.
You configured a DMZ of some kind, but you didn't need to. You only need one.
Right.
You only need one.
Great. And buy it online or buy it from Best Buy or...
I mean, there's no servers at those big box stores, really. So you can get them online. You're going to get the same amount of service if you have any kind of issues.
Gotcha. So I'll look on your website. And
yeah, I'll put the link of the one I chose. It doesn't mean it's the best one. It just happens to do a good job for, you know, it'll do good roughly in a 3,000 square foot home as far as the reach of the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Should I take their free Euro and then just replace it?
If you want. It's up to you.
I don't know. Resell it.
You can also configure the Euro with the OpenDNS too. Try to circumvent them and put in your own passwords. And that might be an option for you to feel a little more secure and then just enjoy the free Euro device.
And they still would be able to get my data or not?
Not if you put not if you configure it with the OpenDNS. The snag is, though, when they want to support you, they're going to default it, right? Because it's all their equipment. Uh-huh. If you put your own equipment in there, the only thing they're going to control is the modem.
Right. Okay.
Thanks. All right. Yeah, good luck with the new speed, the new internet speed.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I got to put that Linksys up there. I can't even think of the model. I got to go look at my Amazon account. Literally installed it on Thursday. Because I was looking at it, like, why am I not getting the speeds I'm supposed to be getting? So I'm just as guilty. I'm a geek too, right? I got things to do. Everything was fine. You know, my everything was working fine. All right, we'll step out for a quick break and get back to your calls. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. If you feel we've given you any service over the past 28 years and you want to do something about that, support the Salvation Army, the holiday stores. It's easy. You don't have to be too technical here. You just go to your cell phone and you text the letters WTIC to this number, 41444. And then you'll be able to donate with a credit card to the Salvation Army. And it's a good cause. And it's been like 30 plus years that the station has done this, and it's helped a lot of people. So consider texting WTIC to 41444. We'll be right back. All right. And we are back here till 11 o'clock. Only a couple minutes left here. So just quickly on that firewall router. So that's available out there for $350. I got it for like $250. But there's a couple flavors of it. There's the 6E, that 6 gigahertz band I was telling you guys about earlier. Most of your devices may not even have 6E availability. And I wasn't impressed with it when I connected a couple devices in my house that did have it. I wasn't really impressed with how it worked. You got to be pretty close to the firewall to really take advantage of it. The 5G actually works. So there is a 5G flavor of the Linksys that I posted out there. And it's, let me see what it is. It's the Hydra Pro. Now, the one, again, I quoted was a 6E tri-band mesh router. And it's got plenty of throughput to handle a 500-500 internet connection. I did not check to see if it could do a gig connection.
Oh.
I didn't check that. I just can do 500-500. I bet you can do gigabit too, but I didn't confirm that. That would mean it has to have the ability to do 2 gigs of throughput, a gig up and a gig down. It probably does. But don't hold me to it. Do your research. So we'll try to have Wes back on next week. I hope everything's okay with him. In other news, I want to bring up some stuff about LastPass. So I don't know how many times we talked about security breaches at LastPass. LastPass is a password manager, right? And it's never good when your password manager is breached. Of course, they say, your passwords are fine. Don't worry about that. But they had a breach that actually impacted another company, had to do with giving folks remote access. And that caused some kerfluffle out there as far as the servers that LastPass was on and this remote access. Do you remember the name of the remote access, Dennis?
Oh, is it Log Me In?
Yeah, Log Me In, Go To.
Yeah. Go To, yeah.
Yeah, so the company detected unusual activity within a third-party cloud storage service that it shared with its parent company, GoTo. So the
sharing
the service,
sharing the same cloud tenant,
not good
at all.
And so they the unauthorized party got into LastPass's cloud service by using information obtained from the security breach it suffered in August. Now, that's not good. If they used information that happened last August, you'd think they would have shut this stuff down so they couldn't do it, but they...
I guess they didn't.
The further... Further, they discovered that the bad actor was able to access certain elements, in quotes, of its customers' information. What's wrong with that?
Certain elements?
Yes. So you got the password managers getting accessed so that to the parent company who's giving you remote access to computers. Oh. What could go wrong?
I mean, I was going to say. What?
That's not good. So I don't know. LastPass has constantly had issues with breaches of all sorts of kinds. I always say, oh, it's not the data. Your passwords are fine. Oh, yeah, whatever. We'll put a link up here for that. And you can read that on your own and lose the sleep that we lose. I do want to thank you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Kevin for producing. It's the first time Kevin's ever produced for us.
Woo-hoo.
I want you guys to think about the holiday store. And no matter where you are, you could be anywhere you want. Just thinking, you know, I'm going to make a donation. Just text WTIC to 41444. And they'll take care of that for you. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on Facebook and Twitter. And now that Elon's there, it'll get to you. I don't have to worry about that at all. Zuckerberg, we'll have to see. And Dennis posted everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.